Hi there, who joined? This is Marissa Santoro from the Guts of Leadership Academy. Hi there, what's your name?
Hi.
Nice to meet you. Have we met at a live event anywhere in the world?
We haven't met at a live event, but you were at the organization that I currently am employed at, and I wasn't able to attend, but I was able to listen to the dial-in.
Yeah, which company was that? Oh, okay. Yeah, that was a packed house. So you were dialed in. Okay.
Dialed in. I wasn't able to attend in person, so I dialed in.
Okay, no worries. Well, we're just getting started here. I created this conference call, mainly because I've been doing events at companies like yours in recent weeks, and there's been so much overwhelming response to the programs that there hasn't been a lot of time for, as you may have seen from the room. So I don't do these often. I just kind of leave the calls open line, and this was the first of that I held. So being that I have you here, well, first off, what did you think of the program at Amex?
I thought it was wonderful. It left me wanting more.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Can you, why don't you start with whatever questions you need? We have a few minutes here. I usually give a few minutes before everyone else joins.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I was, is anybody else on the line or is it just me right now?
There were other people that I spoke to earlier. They joined a little bit early and, they dropped off. And I was actually going to drop off about 7:15. You know, you never know who you're going to get. So I know the timing is.
Oh, I feel so special. Oh, my God. Yes. So let me just start on while I have your undivided attention. Well, one of the things that I realized that I did, and I was sharing with some of my colleagues, was I didn't realize how I was diluting my power by the things that I was saying in my emails. Like you talked about, you know, like saying giving excuses before you just state something that's the obvious, that like if you had a doctor's appointment, I think you used that as an excuse and you walked in late to a meeting. You didn't have to kind of regurgitate that you had a doctor's appointment. You know what I mean? You just like, I'm late, you know, catch me up. I realized your presentation is that words have a lot to do with what we're actually projecting to others, either in our emails or just in our speech. And so I'd like to talk about, I don't know if you even touch on this, but just as far as even like salary negotiation and things like that, I know that women are less likely to negotiate salaries and things of that nature, and it seems as if we are always the ones that are not getting our just due. So could you talk maybe a little bit about being a little bit more assertive in that type of arena? When you have the opportunity to, you know, you're looking at another role or looking at another company, and you have that opportunity, you're at that table now. And could you just kind of talk about that, speak that language, you know, some of the terms or just the any tips that you would have?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let me just make sure I understand. So we're just painting a scenario here. You're about to speak to your manager for additional compensation, maybe a title change, and you want me to just guide you on some language on what to use that shows up powerfully in your value?
Right, and the scenario would be not necessarily a manager that you're currently working with that knows your value, but this is maybe another role that you're going to within the organization or even perhaps outside the organization. But I know sometimes organizations like to kind of base your new salary on your old salary, which really has nothing to do with your new role.
Well, let me tell you something about that, because I've jumped around a lot when I was in corporate. And if you're taking another role, you're absolutely right. If you're moving within the organization, you're kind of restricted to these pay levels that they grade you on, and you can't, like, leapfrog. So that's why people leave. And generally, just my personal story, it doesn't have to be a strategy for everyone. But for me, I jumped about three times. I spent a majority of my career in one company for about 10 years. And then after that, I jumped twice to advance as you know, a higher level executive, and both times I got a significantly larger a pay scale than I would have if I had stayed, and that's just, you know, that's just the way it goes. But yeah, so if you're on the right track as a strategy, if you're thinking about going, you know, just exploring your options, and even if you're not serious about leaving the organization, it's always good. I always recommend people to just kind of do your research. It's kind of like an R&D project. You know, you don't really know what you're worth. So if you go out on interviews that kind of fit the role you want, you can go back to your current organization if you intend to stay, and then kind of just be a lot more armed with the facts of what you're worth on the outside. And if you don't know that, if you don't know your numbers right now, your market worth, then you're really not going into that conversation in a powerful way with what you can bring to the table. So I always recommend that. I've done that. I went on, you know, I may have went on just one or two interviews when I was starting to kind of keep an eye out for new opportunities. And I was able to at least know, well, am I making, you know, at the same level that I should be based on my experience, based on what I know, or, you know, am I underpaid, or maybe you're overpaid. So you need to do that, and that's not hard because there's so much stuff on LinkedIn alone that you could just find something that's similar to you, or even just speak to a recruiter. You don't even have to go on an interview. You can speak to a really good recruiter and then just say, look, this is what I'm doing. What do you see as the pay scale for me? And then maybe they'll just you know, recommend you go on one interview. So that's one thing that I recommend. But as far as your direct question, you know, in terms of the language, what you want to do is when you show up to these meetings, I'm going to use the example of you going for a role that you don't currently, you're currently not in. So I just, I focus a lot, the program that you heard me talk on, Speaking Without Apology, was part of one module of the Gutsy Leadership System that I coach on, and that's called Dialogue. But I'm going to throw in another module of the Gutsy Leadership System. There are five modules, and what I'm going to talk about now is self-promotion. So that's the foundation module of the Gutsy Leadership System. And what self-promotion is when you're going for that, when you're having that sit-down conversation, you're basically tapping into your value of what you can deliver, what you uniquely will bring to this role. So in order to do that, there's a couple of things. But in terms of language, you want to really get a good, especially if it's within your organization, you know, you might be able to get some background from colleagues or people with inside to understand a little bit more about the role. Is it a new role that just got created out of the blue, or is it a role that, you know, maybe you're replacing someone? So I would recommend getting as much background info, only because you want to really understand what the challenges are of this role and kind of put aside your own beliefs. Like, you already have your preconceived notions of what that role may entail, but I'd like you to just still, you know, poke around a little bit and find out as much as you can, because when you're going and having a conversation like that with someone who kind of holds the keys to that role change, you want to go in there having a really good crystal clear picture of what that role entails in terms of its challenges. So if I'm interviewing you, or you're coming to meet with me, and I have the role of your dreams inside the organization, what's going on in my mind is, what are you going to do for me? How can you contribute to my organization? How do you know the world from my point of view? Now, if you've never even met me and you've already come armed with like just one or two, you know, key challenges where you understand where I'm coming from without me having to say anything because you've done your homework, that tells me a lot. So the soft skills are really, really key. That's really what I'm describing. In terms of language, you want to use language such as, I understand this role is, and then just kind of go in there with a couple of just key bullets, two or three bullets, about what your understanding of the role is, and then segue into what you understand the challenges are and how you bridge the gap. And I want you to use those words. This is how I bridge the gap in terms of my skill set, my experience, my you know, years here at the organization. You know, one of the things I would always look for whenever I interviewed someone was, are they someone that I have to spoon feed? Or are they someone that can lead and also allow themselves to be led? So, you know, it's not really so much what you're saying, it's your personal charisma and natural personality that you're bringing. And you really want to make sure you're feeling it too, because I know a lot of times we get caught up in being interviewed by someone, but really you have to turn that around and make a mindset shift about how you're also interviewing people. the person that you're meeting with. Just because I hold the job, you want to make sure, am I really going to, you know, get along with this person on a day-to-day basis? So you want to do that. You want to use words such as that, bridge the gap. Here's what I bring to the table. Here's what I understand. You know, I love it when I used to love it when someone would say, you know, just kind of recap my world, you know, for me, because that made me feel understood. It made me feel like this person can really imbibe the world that, you know, she's considering entering here. And it just makes it so much easier, because if people don't understand all the problems that I'm having, you know, as a manager, then it's going to take me X number of weeks to catch you up, you know, versus if you've had that inside scoop and you've kind of got an idea from other people. The other thing you want to do is you want to paint a picture for the person you're meeting with in terms of the before and after. So, and it's actually another module I teach called on small talk, making small talk. So, you know, there's casual chit chat of what the day is like, why you're here, why you're interested. You know, that's all the obvious questions that they're going to ask. But then you want to weave in the before and after picture. Here's where I am. So you want to say the words, here's where I am, and here's where I want to be. And what that says to someone on the other side of the table is that you're really focused and you're really clear on what your end game is. And so that shows that you have a direction. And then after you say where you want to be, then I, you know, me being on the other side here, can say in my mind, well, is where she wants to be fitting and aligned with what I'm offering in terms of this role? Because it might not, right? So it just kind of clears any confusion, any misunderstanding about where you are, where you want to be, and where I am, and where I need someone to be and step into that role. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Do you think that in painting the picture and stating where you are now and where you want to be, do you have to be specific about the where you want to be in terms of the title or exact role that you want? Or are you allowed to talk about other things like maybe soft skills or just experiences? Or do you have to be that succinct in terms of mm-hmm. a role and, you know, title of where you want to be?
Right. Well, let me tell you, what you want to focus on in that conversation are the results. So I don't want to hear you say that you want a title change, because that's all about you. I don't want to hear you say you want a comp level, because that's all about you. When you go into a meeting like this, you want to tune into the station called WIIFM. It's called What's in It for Me. And that's what's going on in my mind when I meet with you. Although I know you're there for you, your client, you know, and this applies for intrapreneurs as well as entrepreneurs. When I speak to a person who wants to work with me or coach or take one of my courses, I tune on, you know, to a station where I have to put myself in the shoes of my client and think about what it is for her that I can create results for. So now I want you to take that and apply it to corporate. If you're meeting with someone, the only thing that they care about is what you can do for them. What's in it for them? What's in it for me? In terms of, that's what they're thinking. So you want to speak their language. You want to speak about the results that you will deliver. So when you're talking about your end game, you know, obviously the job rec has a couple of descriptions here, but you don't want to be reciting the job rec, because then you're just a parrot and you don't have any, like, you know, you don't come across as being very, thought leader,
college,
you know, having
experience,
thought.
Right, mm-hmm. strategic.
Right,
mm-hmm.
exactly. So write down before you enter that conversation, what would someone like me be looking for in terms of results? What are you going to churn out after 1 year of working in this department? What are the soft skills? You mentioned soft skills, right. You want to mention your soft skills where you are a bridger. And I don't know if I mentioned that at Amex, if I had time. I just did an event last week for S&P Global where I did talk a lot about that. But bridger is someone who can take down silos between different departments. So it actually doesn't matter what role you're going for. You always want to talk about how you bridge the gap with the processes, the workflows, but also with the people. Because as you know, in corporate, there's always department silos. Everyone has job protection. Everyone's not talking to each other. And so having just kind of like, you know, weaving that in the conversation. And I do a lot of energy work with my clients, and I feel, you know, very empathic. And so I'll just share with you, when you first joined the call, I felt immediately relaxed around your energy level. So that told me a lot about what you are without even seeing you. I could tell that you are a very good listener and you are very inclusive. You bring together people in a room, or at least you want to. I don't know if you're always doing it, but I definitely feel like you are someone.
God.
Yeah. Is that right?
Oh, my God.
Go ahead, you.
If you only knew and knew the things that I'm actually thinking about right now, I think you're absolutely right, and it just kind of confirms something else that I'm trying to work on outside of my day job.
Well, I know a lot about that too because I started my career while I was doing my day job. Yeah,
so,
I don't really talk
amazing.
So. Yeah, go ahead.
That's just amazing. You just blew my mind just now.
Yeah, and I want you to use our conversation. I'm not any more special than you. I don't have magical powers. I'm really, really good at is I'm really good at feeling into a situation. And I know as women, we're very good at that. But I've worked with a couple of women that aren't as tuned in, and you are very tuned in. You're definitely tuned in. So, you know, the mindset work and the shifts would come really quick for you. I also don't talk a lot about the energy and spiritual work that I do because I'm not so sure it's very accepted in corporate events that I do. But I do a lot of energy work where I tap into your spirit and I hone in on the things that I see and feel, well, really the things that I feel that you bring to the table. So because I felt that immediately, I would absolutely lead with the soft skills, how you're a bridger, how you form communion, and how you're always, you know, looking for new improvements and taking down the silos and then jumping into the results, which you give, focused on the results. So that's the language, you know, it's based on the role, obviously, but you know the results. Once you read the job description, you do a little research, just put yourself in the shoes of them and ask yourself what it is that they're looking for you to, you know, for results. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I think someone just dialed in. Hi, who is this?
Hi, this is...
Oh, okay. Hi, we met. Yes. Okay, so are you a doctor? Research?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Hi,
Okay, great. I was just talking with someone also, and she's on the call. I've had a couple people come in and out tonight. So before I move on to you, I just want to make sure... I have some information that I'm going to share at the end of the call, so if you want to hang on and listen to what, would you like to do that?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay,
that would be great.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I don't remember all the people I meet, but I remember the NYU Lingon event. It was incredible, and I'm actually going to be doing another one specifically for Dr. Soha and Dr. Iqbal and Benita. So that will be coming in a couple of weeks, which she'll announce. But how can I support you today?
Sorry, so I'm still actually heading home, so I might have a little interference on my line. But I just wanted to follow up. I thought our training was so helpful. And I did have some important meetings with my own chief at work. So I just thought this was like a great kind of booster session to keep me motivated. I did do a lot of the kind of confidence building exercises that were recommended at after one of the online trainings.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so helpful to help me think a little bit more broadly at this stage of my career. And I don't know if medicine is unique in some ways, but often you're in your mid-30s before you're like out of training and actually have some flexibility in terms of your work and salary and have to negotiate for the first time. So it was just really helpful.
Oh, I'm glad. Do you have any specific questions that you want me to laser coach you or just get you through? We did a good session really quickly that's why I did the call to make sure I'm supporting you.
Yeah. I mean, I think the timing was really interesting because I went to the training, I think 2 days before I was meeting with the chief of my service at a hospital. And it was also about a few weeks after I just gotten a promotion, partly because another senior psychiatrist had been leaving. And so I kind of was just dropped into that position. So I had a meeting with her and I went into the meeting with kind of a bit more of a vision for what I wanted for my own career trajectory, which I'd never really thought about before, and tried to ask for more regular meetings to meet. But I do think, I think the challenge for me has been that I work, you know, hired by the School of Medicine and it's a private hospital system, but I work at one of the public hospitals. And so I kind of often hear like, oh, we're really under resourced. There's no protected time to do anything that's, you know, more in line with your interests, even though the expectations are very, very high that we, you know, train residents and med students and fellows and publish, and we have an academic appointment. And so we have a lot of expectations, but there's really no protected time. There's really no bumps in salary. And so I'm not sure how to go about really asking for that. I think those are what would be important to me to grow mm-hmm. professionally, and like even just having protected time in some ways, like being able to go to a conference or give a presentation that I'm willing to, you know, pay for myself and put together a talk and do this, and then I'm still using vacation days, for example, when it's mm-hmm. when it's an interest of mine and I feel like it advances the mission of our institution and our department. But I find that with clinical work, it's really, really hard to get that opening. And I haven't known how to ask for it. I'm still somewhat junior, and I find that a lot of people at work here kind of have just accepted that this is the way it is, that you don't get a salary mm-hmm. bump, you know, despite working there for 10 years or despite having increased responsibility. So I don't know how to, as a relative newcomer, really mm-hmm. ask for more. I mean, so far, all I felt comfortable asking for was regular meetings with my right. chair, because I think there's a lot I've done in the past 2 years that she wasn't aware of, like talks I have given or things I have written up or panels I have organized that I've never even mentioned to anyone mm-hmm. I work with. And mm-hmm. I first time I mentioned it was actually at the workshop we had, where I think we had to mention two things we were proud of to our small group, and I was like, I don't think I've mentioned these two things I'm proud of to anyone in my workplace. Mm. So I'm trying to yeah. do that more. But I think in terms of other returns, it's been hard for me to come up with an effective strategy.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think that could apply to well. And I also see joined. Welcome. So let me start first by, you do not wake up in the morning to be ordinary. So if everyone is just going with the status quo, it's a choice. And you have to take 100% responsibility for that choice. Do you want to go with the norm because you don't want to make waves and be perceived as difficult, which we as women often suffer from? Or do you want to stand out, go against the grain, and ask for what you want? So one of the things, one of the areas, the key, I have a, the gutsy leadership work that I do is based on a 5-step gutsy leadership system. And one of those is asking and expecting the yes. So you don't know what you're going to get because you've never actually asked, and you're not taking full responsibility for that yet because you haven't even extended yourself to ask the question. So that's number one. Let's just put that out right there. A lot of the work that I do is recognizing that there's really no I can't in our lives. Anything you do or don't do is a choice. So I want you to make a mindset shift here that you're in a culture and an environment which is very much affecting your energy levels and what you do and don't do. So if you're following the crowd or you're thinking this is just the norm, then you're already starting, you know, to put yourself in a position where you're closing versus embracing that you can actually be a change agent and ask for what you want. Next, I want you to, when you have this conversation, and we were just talking about language with, I want you to do a little background here on exactly what are the results, what's in it for them, right? So I'll just use your chief of staff. Is this the person that you would be speaking with, your chief of staff?
So it's the first time I've met, I think, where I formally requested a meeting and actually had a set time and sat down. Yes, and I've been there, this is a year and a half in. It's the first time I've had that meeting, and actually, I never thought about my larger boss, who's actually the head of the service at the School of Medicine, and that's actually probably the real chief that I will be meeting with later. But I have not set up meetings with either of these people until fairly recently, a month ago, actually.
But it is your chief of staff that would be the person?
Yes, it's for my hospital, yeah.
Okay.
Rather than the whole school of medicine, it's for my smaller hospital, yeah.
Okay, so, and this is really funny because I was just talking to you about this. It's the same scenario. You see how the system applies regardless if you're a physician, if you're in corporate, if you're an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Basically, when you're going into that meeting, you're going to do your research. I want you to think about, you know, one or two really key training or programs outside of your environment that would really, really help you change your game. And I want you to go in there being very results-oriented. What is in it for her or him? What's in it for him? What would it be that, what are the results that you're going to gain out of doing that, you know, hiatus for 5 days or 3 days or whatever, where you're going to come back and deliver value to NYU Langone? So the only thing that, you know, your chief wants to hear is what are you going to do to create change inside that hospital and not just make it about you? So you have to be really clear about that.
Yeah.
And you have to also implement your soft skills, right? Your soft skills are basically the things, your personal charisma, your persuasiveness, your communication, the fact that you're a bridger. A bridger is someone who can easily make communion with lots of people and kind of take down the silos, you know, the communication gaps that are going on. Now, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I've never been in the medical field. I certainly learned a lot from NYU that night, which was great.
Yeah.
But what I really walked away from is that it doesn't matter, you know, if you're a doctor or a corporate person. This is all about being really clear on what your end game. So I want you to use the words, here's where I am, and here's where this training program will get me, and here's where I can take back, you know, after the training, and make it a win-win, right? Write that down. You always want to make it a win-win for you and the other person on the other side of the table. The only thing that they're thinking is what's in it for me. It's tuning into the WIIFM radio station. They don't want to hear about how you want more money or more comp or how you want a title change. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear about how you're going to support them. And in that conversation, I would recommend you kind of tapping into, you know, having a really candid conversation with your chief on some of the things you've noticed that are challenging and problems, as well as, you know, things that he may just mention in the conversation, which you can then, again, apply to what you can bring to the table, even as a junior person. Don't fall prey to the mindset that because you're junior, you're not, you know, qualified to bring any value, right? This is all about the value that you bring. So you have to tap into your accomplishments. You have to, you know, really bring home your soft skills, and you have to be clear, crystal clear, on what is in it for him. What are the results? And maybe you could do a train the trainer type of thing, right? If they don't have the budget or the time to send people out, I've done that. I've gone out, I've gotten my training, and then I come back and I've trained one or two people, and I've kind of disseminated it across the office. So you can also offer that. You know, there's never enough time. There's never enough time, budget, resources. It's the same thing whether you're in corporate, whether you're in a hospital. It's always the same. And so you have to kind of go against the grain and recognize, you know, in a really powerful way, what is my intention before this conversation? What do I want to get out of it? And in your case, if you hear the no or you feel the no, then have something in your hip pocket. What is it, something that he can give you, if not the, you know, super training or conference that you want to go to? What is something else as a backup that you can put in your hip pocket to kind of say, you know, to compromise on, where, you know, you get some free time to do your own thing? Again, emphasize that you're paying the bill. You're not asking him for the money to go for training, right? You're willing to do that, but you don't have the time and the permission to do that. And whatever conference you're going to, right, wherever that is, they should be outlining what you're going to walk away with. So you don't even have to do this yourself. You can find out based on why you're going, right, the results that you're going to get out of it. And it's called selling yourself. And selling yourself is not about being inauthentic. It's about standing in your values. So go back to the accomplishments that we talked about and really hone in. And if you're not sure, this is for everyone on the call, if you're not sure of what your value and accomplishments are, then ask peers, ask colleagues, former management, ask even your inner circle of people that really know you what your strengths are. They don't have to work with you. They just need to know, you know, what you're really, really good at. And bring more of that, because that's your authentic self. You know, the minute you become artificial and inauthentic, people can feel that. It's energy. And I do a lot of energy work in the private and group coaching that I do. Did I answer your question? Was that helpful as a starting point?
Yes. Yes, yes. That was very helpful. I took some notes. I think there were several things that were very new and helpful.
Good. I'm glad. Did you have any questions? I see her on the call. I'm not sure she can hear me, so I'm just going to private message her right now here. Was that helpful for you in your role? Are you there?
I'm still here.
Yes, okay. I'm still here. Yeah, yeah. It was really helpful.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think sometimes when we do some of these things and we do extend ourselves and we do extra things for a company or a hospital or whatever, we often are thinking about how we could be better at work, but I've never really articulated it that way. So I've never said, like, this is what I'm bringing back to my institution and this is the value it's bringing. I don't think I've ever articulated it in that way. I've often said, like, oh, my skill set is lacking and so I need to do this, rather than, like, I'm solving a problem for my organization. I think
exactly,
like, even framing it differently is, is really helpful.
Exactly. And it's just the dialogue. You know, you can say the same thing in a completely different way and it won't have as much meaning. So, you know, you're going in there with an intention, but you're also being really clear on what it is that you deliver, because that's all they really, that's all that's, that they're thinking about, is what it is that you're going to deliver. And the fact that you're saying it's not the norm and you're kind of going against the grain here is kind of an empowering thing, because, you know, it takes a lot of guts, right? That's why I teach everything around gutsy leadership. Gutsy mm-hmm. leadership is just really leading from your intuition. And I promise you, if you feel it in your gut and you really feel good about, you know, asking for what you want, right, in a really authentic way, then I promise the words will come, the energy that you bring to that conversation will come, and the other person will feel it. But you kind of have to, you know, lead from that center place. It's your source of truth. And just recognize, again, in a really generous way, how you can always make it a win-win for yourself and the other person, because that's really what it's about. That's, you know, to be impactful for everyone. It's about the hospital. It's about the company, the organization. It's not just about you, even though we're very, you know, it's human nature, right? It has to be. Like, we're humans. That's how, who else are we going to think about except ourselves? But in business, you've got to turn it around and sell it. And the way you sell it is putting yourself in the other person's shoes, leading with their results, what they're going to gain, and how your experience, your know-how, your intention, your passion, your enthusiasm is going to bridge the gap, and you can use those words, bridge the gap with where they are. And even if he doesn't understand everything that you're going to do after this conference or how all the change is going to happen, he doesn't really have to. I promise, if you can just bring that passion to the conversation, he will trust that you have his back, that you have the back of, you know, the department or wherever you're working, and we'll come back and give even more value from that. And that can really start a ripple effect, right? Other people may be doing the same. I wouldn't exactly broadcast that until after you come back, because then it could be mixed. I would just suggest that. But, you know, I would just really be, and that's a leadership role, right? Just asking a question like that when no one else is, that's being a leader. And it's just a muscle. You have to work it slowly and eventually it'll expand out. Yeah, so I'm happy to help here. I haven't heard back, so I'm just going to send her another chat. While I'm waiting for her to reply back to me, I do want to mention, I don't know if you guys had received, I had rushed in both of your programs, actually. I had to get rushed through because of the time. But I do deliver significant savings for anyone who is interested in either the full online course, which includes private coaching, with me. So if you're interested in that, just, you know, email me after, or I can talk to it now, whichever you prefer, based on every step. And I also do a lot of work with entrepreneurs as well. So let me know if you'd like to learn more about that. Do you guys have any more questions? Can I support you in any other way?
How do you continue to develop? I'll tell you a little bit about me so you can see kind of why this question comes up for me. Prior to coming to Amex, I worked in higher education, and I worked in higher level roles. And when I made the switch to come over to corporate, I took a lower level role to gain entry into corporate America and to just build my resume from a corporate experience side. And so it was a difficult adjustment in the sense that when you're used to being in charge and now you take a lesser role and your language has to change, your demeanor does have to change a little bit. And in a way, I felt like at one point I was making myself smaller just so that I could fit in and not be the know-it-all of the team. So I've been here for a while, and now it's time for me to transition. How do you build, because I feel like I've lost that level of self-confidence that I walked with when I had the title, and then I don't have the title anymore. But I know to reach my next role and my next level, I need to walk in that level of confidence that I had when I had that title. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, it does. You know, a title really doesn't bring anything meaningful to confidence. I mean, confidence is really based on your inner language. that then comes out as external language. So if you're having any confidence issues, I would say that there's probably something holding you back. And it's usually, I don't know if it's in your case, but it's usually some sort of fear. And there's a couple of major areas where fear comes up. It's fear of rejection, fear of not being accepted, fear of the no. So you have to really name that fear and really lean into what it is that's holding you back. We're not looking to rewind and get you to where you were when you had the title. We're looking to move forward. So I always recommend just going forward and not looking
right.
back. But you have to really kind of do some inner work here on what it is that's holding you back, because there is something, and once you kind of name it, then you move forward. So there's something that I do called affirmations, and what affirmations mm-hmm. are is you actually write down declarative statements about who you are, and you start with the words, I am. So if you are interested, I'll just make up something. If you are interested in buying a new home, let's say by the water, you know, and you believe, you know, you don't have the income or the stability right now to do that, rather than saying, I am struggling to pay my bills, I can't afford a new house, you want to turn that around and say, I am happily enjoying my new waterfront, you know, condo on the East River or something like that. And then as you're doing these affirmations, you're actually reprogramming your mind and making mindset shifts without even realizing it, because your brain cannot tell the difference between what's real and imagined. So as an example, if you're going hiking and you see a stick on the ground, right, your brain doesn't realize that it's a stick. Your brain may assume it's a snake, and you will jump because it doesn't understand the difference between a stick and a snake. And it's the same work that we're talking about here. What affirmations do is it turns that, you know, that a fear, in this case the snake, into actually what it is, which is a stick. And you keep affirming in your mind what you are, and you start with the words, I am. So in a role, I am, enjoying my last day in my current role, moving on to my new role. I'm going out for doing
celebrating.
Yeah, I've also done with other clients, I am, you know, opening up a bottle of champagne, leaving corporate America. And I will share my own story, a personal story. When I left corporate, I was running my business for a couple of years, nights and weekends, and also working full time. And what I did, one of the affirmations that I did was I wrote my resignation letter. I pre-wrote it 9 months before I actually finally resigned. And I made the date June 19th. I did not resign in reality on June 19th, but I did resign in the month of June. So I got the month. I didn't get hit the day, but that was okay with me. So how I did that is that I read that resignation letter several times. I read my affirmation several times of what my life is going to look like outside of the corporate world. And I kept leaning into it. And what happens is, by the way, athletes do this all the time before they run a race, before they do marathons. They pre-imagine, right, what it is that they're going to do with their muscles, how they're going to feel making the finish line first. And they run these images and these affirmations through their mind constantly so that when they're actually in the live marathon, the brain doesn't realize that this is actually the live thing. It's been practicing over and over with the visualization and the imagery and the affirmations forever, so that by the time they're there, the body just knows. The body will adjust and it will reach its goal. And that's really what Gutsy Leadership is about. It's about retraining and reprogramming your mind on the things that you intuitively know are good for you. So I'll just give that caveat. If you know that this new situation, this new move, transition of yours is a very good thing for you, and you are absolutely convinced that this is a good thing for your spirit and your family and everybody else around you who's interacting with you on a daily basis, then you can more easily lean into the affirmations because your body knows it's the truth, right? Versus saying, I'm going to start, you know, smoking or something. Your body knows that's not a healthy thing. So you want to make sure it's something that you're aligned to spiritually and then do the affirmations. I also recommend imagery, you know, have those pictures of what you want to see when you're in that, you know, role or when you're interviewing for that new role, and work it like a muscle, because that's all this is. And then by the time you actually get there, you know, you don't have to worry about how you show up. It'll just kind of happen because you've been practicing it like a muscle. You've been leaning into your gut. And the gut, by the way, is a very real and physical thing. People don't see it. It's not visible, but it's in the room and it's always, always there with you. The problem with us as humans is that we are consumed with outside forces and overwhelmed every single day that we don't hear or feel the signs that are coming up intuitively. So the work that I'm talking about is tuning into that frequency, which is very much a frequency, an energy frequency, so that you hear and you receive what I call the inspired actions, the downloads. Right, I often have downloads in the shower when I have new ideas. They just kind of come and they go, and I act on them immediately. So that's how you raise your confidence. You have to really change your inner game to change your outer game, and this is very much an inside-out game. It starts from the inside, reprogramming the internal dialogue so that by the time it's showtime and you're about to talk about and ask for what you need, just like needs to ask for what she needs, your body is ready. It's been practicing. It's a muscle, and you have to keep doing that. And you don't have to do it for long. You could start now. Like, you could start right after this call and start writing your affirmations, visualizing what you want, and then just going for it and be really unattached to the outcome. That I can't stress that enough. You go into any situation with high intention, low attachment. High intention, low attachment. Be completely disconnected to whatever happens because you're letting go in your mind. You've actually already received what you want. Does that make sense?
It does. It definitely does. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I hear someone else just joined in. Do you want to share anything or have a question? I see some people are joining online, which is fine, but I'm not sure if they can hear me.
Hi, this is, sorry, I had an internet connection, so I only just came up for air. So I figured I'd get a few minutes as I was telling someone else about this program earlier.
Ah, okay. Well, why don't you ask your question? We have a couple other folks on the call. Go ahead.
Actually,
first of all, before you start, how did you find up?
This was just... to say hi, I haven't got a great question. It's more a comment that I hear great things about what you're doing with Being Gutsy.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. How did you hear about Gutsy Leadership and find me?
Well, it started through someone doing a Toastmasters, where they brought people in from the past who had gone on to be successful. And then that connected to someone else, and it was... a Wall Street connection.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we just had some really great questions on the call. We have a physician here, and we have someone in corporate. And, I'll just do a quick recap. They were both looking for some guidance and direction on what to ask for. And also, I'm happy to share with you guys, if you're interested, the recording for this call. No one's given their full name, so everything is pretty much confidential. If you're interested in that, I can share it with you. Let me know
Great.
If that's something you're interested in. Is that something you're interested in?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to do that so you can recap. Okay, so I see Cindy, who's been trying to connect with us. She just said that I've been enjoying listening to all that you talk about and have no particular questions, but thank you. well, thank you. I just want to share something with everybody. When you get a compliment, when someone just, you know, even a casual thing like great job or whatever, I want you to receive that because compliments are energy. Compliments are gifts. And as women, we often shun them away. And as you're doing that, just keep this in mind. As you're, you know, just kind of shooing compliments away and not really owning them, you're also telling to yourself and your spirit that you do not deserve happiness and success, that you do not deserve abundance. And you do. So you have to really, you know, again, making a mindset shift about what you bring to the table and in a really gutsy leadership state of mind, because that's energy. And it's kind of like what I like to call having the psychological emergency brake on when you're in your car. You know, you're in your car and you're pressing the gas pedal and you also have the emergency brake on, right? So you're pressing the gas like you want to drive the car. But then you have the emergency brake on and you're not going anywhere. And that's very much how we live our lives sometimes. You know, we say we want things, but then we have the emergency brake on. And that emergency brake is your psychological limiting beliefs. You know that you can get another position. You know that you can go out and get and ask for what you want, but there's something holding you back. And usually it's self-doubt, limiting beliefs, or fear. And so my mission is to unlock that, and it's not a difficult thing. It's just about discipline, accountability, and really just applying the tools in the system to get to a place where you're working your gut like a muscle. And once you do that, you unlock all of those limiting beliefs so that you can go out there with the freedom to ask for what you want, which is really what this is all about, asking for what you want and leading without asking for permission. Too often we wait for permission, right? And I, by the way, I don't talk about anything that I haven't personally implemented. So I have been in the corporate shoes just like you. I haven't been a doctor, but I certainly know what it's like to ask for training. And a quick personal story, when I had my first child, I worked full-time, 5 days in the office. When I had my first child, I came back and I asked for one flex day working from home, and I received it. And then when I had my second child, I asked for 2 flex time days working from home, and I received it. And then when I left, you know, I had to start all over because a new role, I couldn't get that flex time. But the point is that I've always been really, really clear about asking. And trust me, if you've met me in person, you know that I'm not the person, I'm not the bulldog or the bull in the china shop. I'm actually the more quiet, confident type and who wasn't always someone putting herself forward. So everything I teach and coach on is very much based on personal experience. And if you consider yourself that quiet, confident female leader, which, by the way, all of you are, or you wouldn't be on this call, right? You obviously know you have value, or you wouldn't be on this call. You know that you deserve better. You know that you deserve happiness and success, or you wouldn't be on this call. Energetically, we are aligned in the vortex right now. It's a vibration. I can feel it. I'm sure you can feel it. So I want you to be really clear on what drew you to tonight's call, and then immediately after the call, I want you to really feel into whatever intuitively comes up from your gut. And it takes 17 seconds for you to act on that thought. So if you don't act on that thought within 17 seconds, you lose the vortex of energy. Anything that you download after this or in the future when you're meditating, however you get into that vortex, I want you to act on it within 17 seconds. I can't explain why 17 seconds is so important. It just is. They say that, you know, you have to really act. So it's not enough to think. It's really important for you to act on your intuition, because it's a source of truth. It's your source of truth. And it's your spirit always talking to you. And we just have to tune into that frequency and make some serious environment shifts in our personal and professional lives, as well as mindset shifts about what we bring to the table in our value. So I hope that was helpful. I see here is a coach, but she said she's not able to get her microphone working. So what I'm going to ask all of you to do, well, first off, before I end the call, I want to thank you in gratitude for joining tonight. This is a recording. There's been nothing shared confidential, so everything goes out if you want it. I also record these calls to support other women, because there's lots of people out there that could take advantage. If you are interested at all in any of the Gutsy Leadership online courses or working with me privately, please reach out. My email is marissa@inourshoes.com. That's inourshoes.com. And you also have the phone number on the website if you're interested in that as well, which is 844, I forget my own phone number. It's very rare that I call myself. 844-626-3410. And if you would do something for me, if you would kindly drop me a line and give me some feedback on what you received from this call as a testimonial, I like to share out with the village and the community what people got out of it so that we can do more of these. I don't charge for them. This is my why. You are my why. And just spread the word on Gutsy Leadership and or reach out if you'd like more information. Does anyone have any questions, or can I answer anything for you?
No, you've given me a lot of information. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, good. So reach out if you want the recording, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Yes, thank you. Have a wonderful, beautiful evening, and we'll see you online. Hope to hear from you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks.